the Tome, episode 13, Dragonmarked. And I, as always, am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. The Tome is a D&D review podcast focused on official content. In this episode, I will delve into the mysteries of the dragons above, below, and in between to bring you the Eberron book, Dragonmarked, in this very special crossover episode. Okay, so welcome back to the latest installment of the Tome. Only one quick announcement for this episode. I do have some new hardware that I'm testing out. I got myself a new microphone. The local CompUSA store is going out of business, and I took advantage and went over and grabbed myself a new microphone, which I think will be interesting. The old microphone never quite made me happy. It never quite sounded the way I wanted it to sound. It always had that sort of background static buzz thing that just was not making me pleased. And so I was very motivated to get something new as soon as I felt like I could and could afford it and make sure that I could get something better. So here we are, new sound, and hopefully you guys notice the difference and hopefully it's better for you. I know it'll be better for me because that has always bothered me a lot, but of course I spend a lot of time with each episode going through the editing process and the recording process and going through all of that I hear everything several times more than I imagine most of you do. As always, I encourage all listeners to help out the show however you can. You can help out by taking some time to write an iTunes review, voting on Podcast Alley, or digging the show at dig.com. And there are links for Podcast Alley and dig.com on the website. Also, you can help out the show with your participation. Send in guest reviews, discussions on the nonsense I spout, additions to be shared about any upcoming books that I'm going to review, feedback to help me improve the show, or suggestions on what I should be reviewing. You can reach me by emailing thetomeshow@gmail.com, leaving me an audio, which I just set up, so hopefully I can figure out how that works, instant messaging me, or even leaving me a voicemail. Another new thing that I've just added, trying to make it even easier for you guys to participate in the show as much as possible. The voicemail number is 206-984-1159. You can find the Instant Messenger screen names, the voicemail number, and the audio link on the website under the About the Show link on the right-hand side. Upcoming episodes will include discussions on the latest Dragon magazine, Dragons of Faerun, Complete Scoundrel, Complete Champion. I've also recently picked up the new Cormyr adventure that I talked about when it was in Dragon magazine, so I might do a little talk about that once I get a chance to really look at it. I'm just about to finish up Road of the Patriarch, the latest R.A. Salvatore novel in the Sellswords series set in the Forgotten Realms, so I might tell you a little bit about that. And I have a very special Legend of Drizzt graphic novel series review that's been recorded actually for some time now, but that's part of this special crossover deal. I'm going to give my crossover partners a chance to play that episode there before I play it for you guys over here on this feed, giving them a good shot at playing that, maybe pull some of you guys over there who might be interested in their show, give you a chance to get over there, see what they're all about, listen to my review over there quick, and then maybe I'll recut that review and play it for you guys over here on this feed a week or so after they get a chance to do it, just to give you guys some good information over here about what that series is all about. Now, let's look at some reader email. Just one this week, which I'm not going to complain too much about. It's only been about a week since I've put out the last episode that I'm recording this one. And I covered a lot of feedback in the last couple of episodes. There was a lot of email to go through in there. This one's from Dennis in Michigan. Just thought I would drop you a line saying how much I enjoy your show. I started playing D&D back with the Red Book. I have just started back in the game with 3.5 after about 20 years of non-gaming. It sure is nice to see all of the resources on the net and all of the great podcasts out there as well. Keep up the great work. Dennis in Michigan. Well, Dennis, it's nice to have you back into the hobby. I'm glad to hear that you've gotten back into gaming, and honestly, I think 3.5 is a great time to get back in. The system is really nice. It's well set up. It's very fair. It's very well detailed. It covers a lot of the things in a quick, easy to handle way that the old systems just didn't seem to handle as well. So I really like 3.5, and I think that's a great time to get back into it. And I tell you, you've started gaming long before I did. I've never even seen a real-life Red Book before, although I've seen pictures of it. I started with AD&D back in the mid to late 80s, it would have been. And you're right. There are a lot of nice resources on the internet, and I've talked about some of those, and there's some great podcasts out there. I try to play a promo from a podcast every now and then that I think you guys might enjoy, that I know I'm enjoying. I never play you anything from a show that I'm not listening to myself, for what that's worth. I've been really enjoying those, and I really like the idea of giving you guys a chance to hear what else is out there. In fact, why don't we go ahead and tell you about another podcast right now? This time around, I'm going to play you something from the guys over at Dragon's Landing Inn.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
If you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good, hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
So there's Dragon's Landing Inn. And honestly, I haven't been listening to them for very long. For whatever reason, the description of their podcast never really appealed to me. I never listened to or read that description and thought, wow, that sounds like something I really want to hear. But then a couple weeks ago, sort of on a whim, I decided to check them out, and I liked what I heard. And I'll tell you what, they put together a very nice show. It's very well put together. I'm going to be listening to the Dragon's Landing Inn from now on, I think. I really enjoy what they've got going on, so go check out Dragon's Landing Inn. And one of the hosts of Dragon's Landing Inn is a guy named Lonnie Ezel, who also has another project that he's doing that I'm really enjoying. It's a patio book that he wrote and is reading called Daughter of the Sun. And I've been listening to that almost nonstop for about 2 weeks now, and I've completely caught up and listened to all of it now that's been put out. And it's a fun fantasy sort of book. So let me play a quick promo for you here of Daughters of the Sun also.
In a broken world where magic has been outlawed, one family rules it all.
He did this! He killed my baby!
One woman cursed with magic.
What have I done?
Becomes the pawn in a game of thrones that will tear the world apart.
Who is the woman you're so urgent to find?
Her mother.
You will kill her.
Of course, ma'am.
Do you think he knows?
When we find the woman, she will destroy him for us.
When her daughter is stolen, she wants only one thing: to get her back. But that all changes when she finds her.
What have they done to you?
Join me. Together we can stop the Overlord. The children will go free.
Never.
Daughter of the Sun, the epic fantasy novel by Lonnie Ezel. Find out more about the novel, the author, and the podcast at LonnieEzell.com.
Okay. So that's Daughters of the Sun. And I've already broken my rule about only playing one promo per episode. And I know I'm a horrible person for doing it. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of things going on right now that I think are just really cool. Plus, there's some things going on that aren't so cool. There's one last thing I want to tell you about before we really get into this review. A well-known and dearly loved podcaster out there, Joe Murphy, has been going through some hard times lately, fighting cancer, and just recently passed away, and has had a big impact on what I would call the geek community. So I want to play something real quick that they recorded for him for this memorial fund to try to help out him and his family and the people that helped him along the way. So listen to that real quick.
Hey, everyone. This is Leanne Mabry, host of the Tag in the Scene podcast and one of the sisters of the Farpoint Media family. On Sunday, April 1st, we lost our beloved Joe Murphy to his ongoing battle with leiomyosarcoma carcinoma. So, to try to provide the best way to carry on Joe Murphy's legacy in a positive and productive way, we've made a website in Joe's honor. We hope that it can be used as a central location for Joe's friends to gather together and support each other. This is where you'll also find the PayPal button dedicated to an account for Joe and Joe's family. Your donations will help out with Joe's expenses, and any additional funds available will go to the amazing staff of hospice who have unbelievably difficult jobs and took excellent care of Joe. We also hope to raise enough funds to go towards clinical research to help find a cure and to raise awareness for a type of cancer so few of us knew even existed before Joe. So I ask you to join our army and make people stop and listen. www.joemurphymemorialfund.org. Tell everyone you know.
Okay, so thanks for listening to that, and thanks for putting up with my overabundance of promos this time around. If you have the opportunity and the means and the inclination to help out with the Joe Murphy Fund, then please check it out and help those guys out. But now, it's time to get into the meat of this episode. It's time to get into the review. Dragonmarked. And this review is going to look a little bit differently for you here. I'm going to start off by giving you a quick summary of the whole book. And then I have a very special treat for you. That's right, it is the first ever crossover for the tome. We have a special review of this book from the guys over at Fistful of Comics and Games. And on the other side of their review, which is a great review, and I thank those guys for participating in the show this way, and you're going to hear my review of The Legend of Driz graphic novels over on their podcast. Check them out at fistfulofcomics.com. But anyway, on the other side of their review, I'm going to give my own sort of final thoughts, summary thoughts, like I usually do at the end of a review. And that will be our look at Dragonmarked for Eberron. So the initial summary. Dragonmarked is a book for the Eberron campaign setting, which is meant to sort of flesh out this idea of dragonmarks, which are this cool sort of addition to the rules that were created for that setting. For those unfamiliar with Dragonmarked or with Eberron, dragonmarks are sort of magical tattoos that appear on people and grant them special abilities. These abilities show up at certain times and only in certain families and only with certain races. And it adds quite a bit of prestige and importance to their role in the world. If you have a dragon mark, and you're in this house, then you become important. In fact, the houses have taken on this very high level of importance throughout the world, almost more important in many cases, definitely more important than what country you're from, is what house are you affiliated with. And all the houses are tied together by this concept of they all have the same dragon marks, the same tattoos. That's our summary. Let's hear what the guys over at Fistful of Comics and Games had to say about this. And once again, thanks to the Fistful of Comics and Games guys for participating in the show this way. I really look forward to opportunities to do more things like this in the future.
This is Working Man.
This is Arcane Guyver from Fistful of Comics.
And Games. And we're here today to do a guest review of a recent release from Wizards of the Coast, the Dragonmarked book for the Eberron setting. So I see Keith Baker's name's on the cover, which is always a good sign for Eberron. Who else do we have that contributed to this?
Michelle Lyons, and... C.A. Sue Layman. I hope I didn't just butcher that name.
Okay. So, now, this one's probably a... Does it give us a big explanation, I'm hoping, or does it clear up some of the mystery, or does it just give us more mystery when it comes to the dragon marks?
Well, it actually provides a lot more information. If you read the Eberron campaign setting, they talk about the dragon marks and dragon mark houses, and what they do roughly, vaguely... but they don't go into detail, and this book explains just about everything I think everyone wanted to know.
Okay. So we had all of the houses that were listed in the campaign setting. Do we get any more houses in this one from those?
No.
So we've got 13 houses. Is that the right number?
13. Yeah, that's right. That's
okay. Right. So we've got the 13 houses. So they're really the trade. They hold... essentially the monopoly on different sorts of magic and trade and things that are going on. So what kind of backgrounds do we get on these houses?
Well, the origins for some of them are explained better, like the House Fiarlan and House Thirani, which was two elven houses that use the same mark, but they're different houses, and so that can get a little complicated.
So do we get more personalities that go along with the houses?
Yes. They're higher-ups for the houses, and they give, like, example NPCs for different houses.
Now, is it keeping in flavor with everything that we've seen so far as kind of setting the default level? This Eberron's always been one that's low to mid-levels are favored, so what's, like, the highest level NPC that you encounter in the book?
It wouldn't be higher than 12 or 13, but... those are usually the elite of the elites.
Okay. Okay. Now, the other thing that the book adds is prestige classes specific to...
Dragon marks.
Yep. Now, there was only a couple of them in the campaign setting. Are those listed as well, or are these all new?
These are all new. In the campaign setting, there was the Heir of Sybaris and the Dragonmarked Heir. Dragonmarked Heir basically expanded the potential of a base Dragonmark, and Heir of Sybaris was if you're an heir of the house, but didn't pass the test and never manifested a Dragonmark, then at some point in time you get a certain point of stress and it awakens, so you're covered with this Dragonmark, get superpowers basically. But these prestige classes in this book each sort of tweak the powers of a Dragonmark to a certain extent, like the Halfling Mark of Healing. There's a prestige class called the Black Dog, since the symbol of House Jurasco is the Blink Dog. So they're called the Hounds of Mercy, typically. So these are the Black Dogs, and then a subversive subsection, which use their dragon mark to create poisons. And so if they do the opposite with their mark.
Okay, so instead of the dragon marks being so focused in one flavor, we're now getting a little bit of variety in the... differences of even a specific dragon mark.
I would say this is probably like the one part that sort of rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, because some of the dragon marks, they obviously use the dragon marks for different reasons, different uses, but they're not exactly what the marks are made for.
So they're flavoring it differently, and that's what was kind of bugging you about it, or?
Like the mark of making, they have a prestige class that basically gives you survival uses for in the Mornland.
Okay.
And it, I don't see the correlation at all. I mean, obviously, Husk and Nith has a reason to go into the Moor land to recover stuff they lost in the morning.
Okay.
But I don't see how the Mark of Making allows you
to survive better?
All these different abilities.
Okay, so they don't seem to correlate to a specific mark.
It's a good class, it's just I personally don't see the connection.
Do you think it was kind of something that they tried to fill a niche maybe that was missing in the setting?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, we haven't had a Moorland Explorer class yet, so...
Okay. Now, if I counted correctly, there seem to be like over 100 feats. if I read that correctly.
Yeah, there are a lot of feats.
And are they all specific to Dragonmark, or do they also throw some other ones in that may be more house-specific, but not necessarily tied to a specific Dragonmarked power?
If I recall correctly, they're all linked to Dragonmarks. One thing I really liked is they expand on the Aberrant Dragonmark quite a bit, which originally was just a one-time feat that you got from the campaign setting. It gives you, like, burning hands once a day or something.
Okay.
It wasn't all that impressive, but here they allow you to get, like, lesser aberrants and greater aberrants, which previously were not available. And with these feats, they, you know, they're, some of them are very focused on different marks. Like, the one that gives, for the Mark of Making, gives you, like, bonuses on craft checks and other things that fit flavor-wise.
Okay.
And some of them actually, I'm kind of surprised they give support for new classes, like the Dragon Shaman from Player's Handbook 2.
Okay.
And the Warlock from Complete Arcane.
So now they're taking some of these other classes that are more...
Recent.
More recent, or not necessarily setting-specific, and saying, here's ways that you can take these recent additions and make them work in Eberron.
Yeah, basically you can use your Dragonmark to fuel your class abilities for a couple different classes.
Well, that's cool. Now, you already kind of touched on this magic. They're going to bring out more magic. Are the spells specific to...
Dragonmarks.
Dragonmarks? Are they specific to certain prestige classes, or how do they help flavor the game?
Honestly, I haven't looked too closely at spells, but... Basically, if you want to play a Dragonmark character who focuses on your powers and your spellcaster, you can acquire these spells, and they may not give a specific mechanical advantage over existing spells, but they're flavor-wise, they show that marks have a innate magic in them. You can utilize that for your spellcasting.
Okay. Now, you already kind of touched upon them fleshing out the aberrant marks. Looking at the whole book, what is the most useful thing in the book that you found?
I honestly think the first chapter, it's most of the book, the houses. We've been very hungry for information on these Dragonmark houses, since they're supposed to be almost as powerful, if not more powerful, than the actual nations of Corvair, but there's been little to no information about them, other than fan-created. And I would go as far as say this is almost a must-have if you're going to be running the game. And even if you're playing a Dragonmark character, this obviously is going to open up a lot of options for you.
So, now you've been running a campaign in the Eberron setting for pretty much since it's come out.
Yep.
So, looking at this now, what's the first thing that you're going to do or incorporate into the setting as you have it? What's the first thing you're going to grab? You talked about kind of the histories, but now that you've been playing for a while, how are you going to relay that information to, like, the players at this point?
I'll try to emphasize the scope and scale of the houses. Like, in the book, there's actually a tip about the player's handbook. All the items in that have the same price, and they all have to do the same damage, whatever. That's because one of the houses, House Kenith, has standardized that. They have their own pricing, their own standards of quality. And, like, if you go to a merchant not related to the house... It might charge more, it might not be do as much damage, and basically, you're best off going to the houses for all your needs. And
so, do you see the players maybe doing that sometime, or throwing that at them as a choice now? Now that you see the way they've set the house up as far as not so much having a monopoly, but really influencing that particular market... Do you think that the players will still tend to go towards the various houses for whatever services it is they're looking for?
I imagine they will. I mean, you can get pretty much anything you want from them, and I certainly hope they would, because there's a lot of politics and scheming people amongst the houses that you'll find out in this book.
So is it a good source for story hooks?
Yes, very good source.
Okay. And how easy do you think it's going to be to take the information from this book and drop it into your already existing campaign?
Oh, it's very easy. Like I said, it's mostly stuff that hasn't been explored yet, and it's mostly been in the background of the game up to this point.
Cool. So, now, the book retails for $29.95, is that correct?
Yep.
Do you happen to know how many pages it is?
I think it's the new WOTC standard 160 pages.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looked a little thin to me when I first saw it.
That's the standard format for Wizards books now. They seem to really try to cram them now, since they have a lower page count.
So do you feel that it's worth the money that you paid for it?
Yes, this book was.
Okay. And one thing we didn't really talk about, which is a big component of a lot of the Eberron stuff, is a lot of the flavor text and the artwork in this. Is this up to that level that we've seen so far in the product?
Yes, I was very impressed with this book. Some of the titles in Eberron Online I have not been completely 100% happy with, but this one really... Well, like I said, it's about part of the trifecta of the campaign setting, Dragon March, and Five Nations. Well, I guess Faith of Eberron going there too, but...
Okay. So you've got like four core books, and you consider this a core book.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, trying to be as objective as possible, how would you rate this product in and of itself?
I would give it a 8. It'd be a little higher if it was longer, more page count, but they can't really help that. And if the prestige classes are a bit more focused on what the marks are supposed to do, not what would be cool for them to do.
Okay. So that's trying to be as objective as possible. Now, looking at it as part of the setting, as an integral part of a setting, same scale, 1 to 10, what would you give it?
As part of the setting, I'd give it a 10, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds really good. So this is the Dragonmark source book for the Eberron setting, and this is official Wizards of the Coast D20 material for your Eberron campaign. So we look forward to seeing more secrets and maybe a few NPCs pop up in the upcoming campaign.
Quite a few, yeah.
All right. Well, this is Working Man.
This is Arcane Guyver.
For Fistful of Comics
and Games.
First, let me say again, that was awesome. I love having these guys on there. I've really come to enjoy Fistful of Comics and Games. It's a great podcast. Go check them out. And I love their review of Dragonmark for us. That was really cool. A little bit different format than I take. And at the same time, I think they got you a really good grasp of what this book is about. I don't think I could have done it better myself. So my thoughts on the book, it's good. Like they said, the bulk of the book is a lot of fluff, I guess you would call it, rather than crunch. It's, most of it is non-rules specific, dealing with what are the different houses like and who are the important people there and a lot of stuff dealing with that. But at the same time, again, when they need rules, they throw you a little sidebar and explain those things. Prestige classes, there's basically a prestige class for each of the houses. And then there are just a ton of feats. Just a ton of feats. The very last section deals with magic, spells, and items, and that kind of stuff. And honestly, it's probably the weaker of the sections. It's decent, and it has some neat ideas in it. But I'm not going to go seek out this book because of the spells. I might seek out this book because of the feats. I might seek out this book because of the background information if I'm playing a Eberron campaign. They did mention it does have a fairly low page count. It comes off as, when you're holding it in your hand, it's a very thin type of book. I'm not used to paying $29.95 for a book that's this thin. They do pack a ton of material into it. But at the same time, I almost feel like I'm not getting my money's worth out of it. Now, speaking of that, I always finish off comparing what I think a book is worth to what the cover price is. Again, the cover price is $29.95. I think if you're playing an Eberron game, And definitely if you're running an Eberron game, this book is worth the $29.95. If you're not playing or running or planning to play or run an Eberron game, it's a lot less valuable to you. Now, it does give you enough that if you knew the rules for Dragonmarked from the Eberron campaign setting and you wanted to incorporate them into your game, even if it's not an Eberron game, then it might be valuable. If Dragonmarks appear in your game and it's not an Eberron game, this will give you some really cool ideas on how to make that better. But even then, I'd probably, if you're not playing an Eberron game, just because of that first chapter is so Eberron-specific, I'd probably only give it a $15 value if you're not playing Eberron, but still using Dragonmark. But if you are, it's a really cool book. And like he said, one of the essentials. Gives you a lot of information about what Eberron's all about. So that's our review. Well, that's Dragonmarked. But we're not done yet. Oh, no, no. I also have a guest review from Jeffrey Wynn, who sent one in earlier for the holiday special a few months back. And now he decided to do another one for us. And I thought this review fits perfectly to what we're dealing with here. Because he's done a review of another Eberron book. And I haven't done anything with Eberron in the show until now. So now you're going to get a double dose of Eberron from myself, the Fistful of Comics and Games guys, and Jeffrey Wynn. So thanks a ton, Jeffrey. And here's his review of Secrets of Sarlona by Keith Baker, Scott Fitzgerald Gray, Glenn McDonald, and Chris Sims. I enjoyed this book. I was actually waiting for this a long time. Secrets of Sarlona is the first book since the original Eberron campaign setting to open up new areas in Eberron. Previous books have expanded on material in the ECS, that's Eberron campaign setting, but this book is the first to offer us something entirely new. For those of you wondering, I did not really count Secrets of Zendrick, because Zendrick is largely a big open space anyway. Secrets of Zendrick gave you tools and ideas for having adventures on that continent, but you really didn't need it to run a campaign there. To enjoy this book, it is helpful if you're familiar with and enjoy the Eberron setting. Many people don't, quote, get Eberron, and that's fine. However, Secrets of Sarlona may be of interest to people who weren't previously interested in the campaign setting. Just as Eberron is very different from Greyhawk or the Forgotten Realms, Sarlona is very different from Corvair, the continent where most of the action in Eberron takes place. It is also extremely helpful if you enjoy psionics and own this expanded psionics handbook. While not absolutely necessary, the use of psionics rules will help you get the most out of this book. Chapter 1, the largest chapter in the book, talks about Sarlona's history and gives a general overview of conditions there. Sarlona was the birthplace of humanity, the original home of Lazar the Explorer, who was the first human to settle Corvair. Sarlona's early history was full of powerful empires and chaotic warfare. There were originally 12 nations, which Eberron fans will recognize as a significant number. 1,000 years ago, the Quarry took control of Sarlona. Using psionics to manipulate dreams and emotions, the Quarry were able to unify 8 nations under their control and either kill or exile any who resisted. Although the Quarry are not able to physically travel to Eberron due to the magic of the giants, they are able to possess human vessels. These vessels become the Inspired, and they are the unquestioned rulers of Rhaedra. The other areas of Sarlona not yet under control of the Inspired are Sirkum, Adar, and the Tashana Tundra. I will mostly talk about Rhaedra here, because it is the largest and most interesting part of Sarlona. Rhaedra is a place where everyone is secure and happy, but no one is free. The whole country is like an Orwellian nightmare come true. Citizens are indoctrinated from birth to follow the path of inspiration, which teaches people to work hard and be absolutely loyal to the inspired. People are told what work to do, what possession they may own, what clothes they may wear, and whom to marry. Children are taken from their parents at birth, so they have no family attachments. There is almost no personal freedom in Rhaedra, but the people do not care because they are happy and secure, and they love the inspired. Every night, dreams are broadcast from the large egg-shaped monoliths that dot the land. The people dream of happiness and security. The book explains in several places that the inspired do not have perfect control over everyone, and there are groups of dissidents. However, being an enemy of the inspired is extremely dangerous in Rhaedra. I think I've said Rhaedra four different ways now. Anyway. However, being an enemy of the inspired is extremely dangerous in Rhaedra, and these groups must keep themselves carefully hidden or flee the country altogether. Still, this offers players the chance to play a Rhaedran PC or to find Rhaedran allies. Adar is the home of the Kalashtar, who are related to the quarry but oppose them. It is a mountainous, inhospitable region full of wandering monks and mad wizards. The Adarans have erected a permanent psionic barrier that mostly keep the inspired out and prevent scrying and psychic attacks. Sir Karn is a more fertile and hospitable place that has so far also remained free of the inspired, although it is suggested that the inspired allow this area to have freedom for their own reasons. A race called the Inico live here, which are a Mongol race formed from mixed human, ogre, and giant blood. The Tashana Tundra is home to groups of shifters and an unusual alliance of dwarves and Durgar. Each of these regions is unique and interesting if you have time to read about them. The other chapters talk about the role of different races in Sarlona and presents new feats, spells, prestige classes, monsters, and magic items. The section on races is really cool. They have incorporated all the new races from the Expanded Psionics Handbook into the setting, with the exception of the Githzerai and Githyanki. Elans, Maenads, Zeph, and Dromites are all found in Sarlona somewhere. There are also Aventi, a race found in Stormrack, and various types of Plane-Touched. Changelings and Shifters exist in Sarlona, but no Warforged. Changelings have a far better social status in Rhaedra than in Corvair, although they are still controlled by the Inspired. Players also have the option to play a Chosen. These are special humans bred from birth to serve as vessels for the quarry. When a Chosen is inhabited, he becomes an Inspired. However, many Chosen remain free, and although most serve the Inspired, a few may rebel, for one reason or another. These Chosen can become PCs. Finally, there is a large population of ogres and ogre magi, who have their own unique history, and they are available as player races. The monster section presents three new quarry, including Kalarak Quarry, or Eyebender, at CR 20. The Kalarak is the quarry equivalent of a pit fiend or a baler. One funny thing I should mention is that due to the fuzzy alignment system in Eberron, some Kashalok can be of good alignment, although this doesn't mean they're not enemies of the PCs. One of the greatest things about this book is that the authors made a real effort to incorporate other supplements, not just the core material. There are references to the Expanded Psionics Handbook, Complete Psionics, Tome of Magic, Stormrack, and various other complete books and monster manuals. It is not necessary to have these books to use Secrets of Sarlona, but if you do have any of these books, the value of Secrets of Sarlona is increased. This book gets high marks from me. If you like psionics and want to finally have a psionic campaign setting, this book is a must. This book is also great for any Eberron fan who's wanted to know more about Sarlona. since it was first introduced in the ECS. By Jeffrey Wynn. That is an awesome review, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for including that. That is great. And it sounds like a really interesting setting. I really, really wish I had more opportunities to play in Eberron and to do some of these neat things. I've always loved Psyonix, and I would love to have an adventure based in Sarlona. I've always loved the idea of giants and ogres and ogre magi. I'd love to incorporate that more into a setting too. You mentioned how great it was they included lots of other supplements, not just the core material. That's awesome. At the same time, it's sort of a gamble, I think, because then you have the risk of encouraging people not to get this book because they can't use all, or they don't feel like they can use all the things that are presented in it because they don't own all the books. But I'm glad it really worked for you. And like you said, it does when you have those books and they all mesh together and they all work together very, very well. It does make these books really cool. So, Jeffrey, thanks a ton for this. If anybody else out there wants to participate in the same way or a similar way, or send me a review audio comment through the email or through audio or on the voicemail, I'd love to hear your voices on these things too. And I mentioned in the last couple shows, it would be really cool for us to develop some reporters. I don't do a lot of Eberron. Maybe if there's somebody out there who's really interested in Eberron and really interested in getting involved in the show, they could be our official Eberron reporter. And every now and then, shoot me an audio file and I'll edit it down and put an intro and a conclusion on it. And that'll be a whole episode. And it's another way for us to get more episodes and more content out there too. So if anybody's interested in doing that or reporting on any other thing, if they want to report some independent stuff, that's cool. If they want to report just some books I'm not covering, that's cool. I'm willing to talk about anything that's D&D on this show, or maybe even anything D20 to open it up even more. You guys come up with ideas and let me know. I love the idea of having more audience participation. Okay, the conclusion. Coming up will be Dragons of Faerun, Complete Scoundrel, Complete Champions. Look out for that Drizzt graphic novel review on Fistful of Comics and Games. Thanks again to those guys. And of course, there'll be any new Dragon magazines that come up between now and then that I'll review also. I'd love to hear what you think about this review, about the idea of the crossovers. Should I do more? Should I do less? Are there other shows that I should be specifically talking to about crossovers? I've talked to a few other shows about doing some stuff too. So let me know what you think. Tell me about upcoming books that I'm going to review, or give me some general feedback for the show. Email thetomeshow@gmail.com. Leave me an audio. Call the phone number. That's 206-984-1159. Or instant message me. And all of those things, again, can be found at the website, which is http://thetome.podbean.com. Lastly, if you like the show, you can help it get noticed by writing iTunes reviews, voting on Podcast Alley, or digging on dig.com. I greatly appreciate the time it takes to do these things, and thank you even more for those who have already done it. Thanks again for listening. This has been episode 13, Dragonmarked, of Dennis in Michigan. And you're right, there are... Here's the promo for Dragon's Landing. And Daughters of the Sun. Promo goes here. Woohoo! Time for Fistful of Comics! Now I need to find my script. Where's it at? Open. Slow word. Because Zendrick is an own the Psyon. They were originally. Blah, 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 blah. And they are the unquestioned. The other areas of Sarlona, not yet under the control. Blah, blah, not yet under the. And Tishana Tundra. People are. Every night, dreams are broadcast from a large egg-shaped monolith of dwarves and an unusual alliance in Duergar. A race from the chain at CR20. It is not necessary to have these books to use Secret Service or Larnim. But if you do have any, or instant messaging me.
The tome, the tome, the tome, the tome, the tome.